My name's Matt Milner, and this is Locals Only. With that, we are ready to send it over to Studio 2A. As I said, my guest this week, the Jim Howell Band, have a new album. It's called Silver Cloud, and Silver Clouds was released just at the end of last year. We'll hear most of those tracks here tonight. So without further ado, live from Studio 2A, the Jim Howell Band.
Yes, I'm for your love, working for your love with no pay. Working for your love with no pay.
Travis Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, live in Studio 2A with the Jim Howell Band. Thanks for coming down tonight, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Why don't we start off with introductions? We'll go around and have everybody let us know who they are, what they're playing tonight, and if there's anyone who doesn't have a mic, maybe you can introduce them.
We'll go counterclockwise, starting with the drummer.
All right. My name's Sean. I do drums and occasional backup vocal, and I'm playing drums.
My name's Michael, and I'm playing the bass.
Over here on the lap steel is Bill Elm.
My name's Lauren, and I'm playing guitar.
My name's Jim. I play guitar. I sing and do other stuff, too.
Yeah. So, Jim, we're here tonight, at least in part, because you've got a new album you guys put out tail end of last year, right?
Yeah, so kind of like released it in December with not a lot of fanfare, just kind of said, hey, my album's out.
Yeah.
There you go. it was kind of like a 14-month project from like beginning of writing it and then finishing the recording and releasing it. Pretty much the most do-it-yourself project I've ever been involved with, because I recorded the whole thing in my own home studio. Most of the people in this room played parts of it, but a lot of the instruments I actually recorded and played myself.
Wow.
So there's a lot of songs where the rhythm section, all of the parts of the rhythm section are just me. And then various people kind of step in to do other little parts.
How long had this batch of songs been just in circulation?
From the beginning of that 14-month kind of period. So I pretty much sat down with, you know, broken pieces of things for years, but then sat down and said, okay, so I have this concept, I'm going to write this song. And then Lauren came over one morning and you know, I said, hey, I want to kind of finish this song. And so we worked on it. And then like another week later, he came over and said, well, I have another idea. I think that's better.
Yeah.
Let's try this. And then we sort of worked it out. And that was the song we just played, actually.
Mm.
And then once that kind of pushed through, it was like all of a sudden these broken pieces that I had of little bits and pieces of songs or non-existent things that just kind of came about during the process evolved into the full record, plus some leftover bits and pieces, which I'm working on now. So.
And over the course of the 14 months or so that you were working on the album, did your vision for the album change at all? I mean, did you have a pretty clear sense at the outset of the process of where you wanted to end up, or did that evolve?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I kind of had the idea that I wanted it to be pretty much a country album.
Uh-huh.
And that is a pretty loose term these days,
sure.
Especially if you listen to mainstream radio.
Right.
There's almost no country in mainstream radio today. but I wanted to have some traditional kind of country flavor to it, but I also wanted to, you know, kind of have my own, you know, life experience and musical life experience kind of show through on some of it as well. So there's some, you know, points of songs that kind of, you know, change and go a different way than maybe a traditional country. But maybe the first song on the record is very, you know, kind of Johnny Cash laden kind of thing, which is very much more, you know, traditional country.
Sure.
And then some other things. You know, the second song is a little bit more pop and rock kind of influenced, but with still sort of a leaning towards country, you know, kind of thing. So the album was, my intention was to go that kind of direction from the beginning, and the songs that I wrote either went that direction or I would kind of produce them in that direction.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, and that thread, so it's running through all these songs, but as you said, you've got some points where you deviate a little bit more from the kind of traditional country sound, but that it's still a foundation for all the songs that at least at some point in their conception they were wedded to country music in some way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think also, I mean, if you know, lyrically, country music, you know, especially traditional country music, they get to the point. It's kind of pretty clear as to what the song's about. It's not, you know, kind of masked in some kind of, you know, kind of metaphor in some way. You know, and I, you know, being a kid who was born in the early 70s and grew up listening to rock music, that there are a lot of songs that were very metaphoric. And then, you know, being a person who was around at the, you know, kind of interchange of you know, the Seattle sound and things, and a lot of 90s bands and alternative rock bands, you know, you have no idea. I have no idea what half the, you know, grunge songs were really about. And, you know, if you listen to a Stone Temple Pilots song, who knows what that song was about?
Right.
You know, You know, when the dogs found her, I don't know. I don't know what they're... What are they talking about?
They're yarling.
They're yarling, yeah. But I kind of didn't want... I didn't want that too much. I mean, a lot of the songs may be somewhat metaphoric, but they sort of have a point that could be accessed as either a guy-girl relationship, but maybe they're metaphoric about something else, but
sure.
But it's kind of framed in a thing that could make sense to someone, you know.
Is it harder to write really direct, honest songs like that than it is to write something that's got sort of a, for lack of a better term, a veil that's, you know,
yeah,
mediating?
I think so, and I think that's why it took me so long to put out my own record. I mean, I was,
sure.
you know, 42 years old before I put out my first solo album.
Right.
Probably because I had bits and pieces and went, I don't really like that. Now I'm getting a little too personal with that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it is harder. If, at least for me, it is. I don't know if it's harder for everybody, but, I mean, some people maybe they kind of lean towards that. Mm-hmm. But definitely for me, it's always easier to write something metaphorically than to be direct about a situation.
Sure.
You know?
So the album is called Silver Clouds, and you've got it available right now through what sources? How can people find it?
So it's on iTunes.
Okay.
It's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. CD Baby, I think. You can download it. I don't think they have physical discs. You can get a physical disc for me at a show, an actual CD. You can get a CD on my website, mm-hmm. Which is jimhellmusic.com. And it's on Reverb Nation as well, as you can download it from there. So, I mean, if you go online, you can find it.
Perfect. Yeah. And speaking of the record, I think we're going to segue into the title track. Is that
right? Yeah, the title track, Silver Clouds, is it probably the song that I wanted to write the most in this record, is why it ended up as the title track. It's about close friends. I was in a country rock band called the Wyatts, mm-hmm. and there were a couple of people associated with our group of friends and musical family that passed away during the time period of the Wyatts or slightly after. And so the song is really about those people, and it was kind of a song that it's been kind of brewing for a while that I knew I was going to write about it, and it was actually like the third different version that I tried to write. It turned out to be this, and kind of, you know, took pieces of one and pieces of another, and ended up with this, and I liked the song enough that I kind of felt like it should be the title track. So.
Sounds
it's
good.
Called Silver Clouds.
Drove home all alone. Found me.
daughter lived to dance, sing and strum, and throw some back with the best of them.
Double yellow line. This song's next because it's drastically contrasted from the last song. This one's kind of happy.
Well, I chased that double yellow line through sun and snow. I took it out as far as it would go. Traveled it far and wide, but every single time the double yellow line leads back to that girl of mine. Double yellow line left spring break paradise. A girl to never mock off. And no matter what road or corner of the desert I roam, the double yellow line leads right back to home. The double yellow line leads me to distant lands, foreign sounds and sights and bigger plans. And no matter what the lure, there's one thing that I'm sure, the double yellow line. Took it out as far as it would go. And I traveled it far and wide, but every single time the double yellow line leads back to that girl of mine. The double yellow line leads back to that girl of mine.
We're trying to get Sean to sing more. here's the irony of the situation. Sean's a really great drummer.
Oh, here we go. He loves telling the story.
I love telling the story. Sean's a really great drummer. But he's also like an incredible singer who's been a musical director of an a cappella group for 2 years. And yet, getting him to sing harmonies in the band has been a struggle.
To be fair, I've never said I wouldn't sing. Right. It's just you haven't made me sing.
Right.
So I've been like kind of avoiding it. And now you're like, oh, you're singing. I'm like, I don't have a choice, do I?
All right, this one's called I Ain't Buying. There's a ever mounting kind of level of craziness in life today, and I think this is a protest to that.
TV most every night, on the internet, on every damn site, at the corner store, down the block, outside my bank in the parking lot, walk up to my car just to hustle what I got, in the parking lot while you were smoking pot, and you can go on selling crazy, and I ain't buying. Nothing's getting done. Yelling at the red room and cussing up a storm. Staging bits with a crowded room in tow. Whispering the right thing so no one ever knows. Build it up and break it down and quit it when you're through. Pit one against the other so they are both with you. And you can go on telling crazy. And I am by. We'll be right back.
This is Locals Only, live in Studio 2A with the Jim Howell Band. Thanks again for coming down tonight, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, you know, during the first break, we talked about how this was an album that at its inception, you wanted it to be a country album of sorts, but that there were a lot of areas where you were drifting into different dimensions. That last
Correct.
Set was indicative of some of those different spaces you were exploring, I think.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm curious about is, you know, you've put out music and played music with a lot of different groups over the years. What, if anything, was different when you set out to embark on a project that was going to be under your own name as a solo project?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, being a side guy in bands for years and being a side guy who was involved in a lot of bands that I was able to have some kind of aspect of the creative control
sure.
of the overall sound of the band and help sort of be one of the armchair producers in the band mm-hmm. Is one thing. But then when you like write the song and you're singing the song and playing a lot of the instruments, and then it becomes like, oh, wow, this is like my thing.
Sure.
I kind of, looking back at it, kind of felt like I put a lot of instrumentation on the record on every song as a way of kind of covering up my own self, you know, insecurity about like, well, this is my song, so I'm going to put as many awesome instruments over the top of it to like kind of give it this huge sound as possible, rather than just sitting down with a song and an acoustic guitar and my voice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't ventured into doing that, and I hate performing solo so far.
Fair enough.
I've done it a few times, and I'm not a huge fan of doing it. It's not my most fun thing.
Yeah. Fair enough. You know, I'm always interested whenever we have someone on who, you know, for a lot of their, you know, previous creative energy was they were focusing it towards, you know, as you described, being kind of a side guy, you know, being in a supporting role.
Sure.
This is very different, but I'm wondering, how does it inform that experience that you've had, you know, as a creative collaborator in other projects? How does it inform the way that you interact with everybody in your band now, and the way that you know, have developed the live sound for this project?
I mean, I don't know. I think that's probably a better answer by everybody else. I mean, I think I sort of have an idea going in of how things are going to sound. And I think that's why a lot of the record is me playing a lot of the instruments.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, for the most part, I haven't dictated exactly what Sean and the drum. I mean, drums are my main instrument, so
uh-huh, yeah.
You know, he probably has more of the brunt of that load to bear than anyone of like, hey, this is my song and I play drums on the record, and now you've got to like, you know, do that thing, you know, in the live band. But you know, he does not exactly what I play on the record, but still keeps it true to the song. So I don't know. I mean, how do you?
I mean, I was going to say, Sean? I feel like you're at an advantage because, you know, you were my teacher for like the first few years when I started. So if anything, I figured you could kind of tell me what to do, and I'd be like, all right, well, you kind of taught me everything, so I have to go with it. And
right.
like, I can't really question you on anything.
I can boss him around a little bit, you know?
But I mean, for me, like, I typically don't play country. I'm involved in so many other things. So I like to think in some capacity, I kind of bring all of those other outside like rock band backgrounds into this. But with Jim, it is a lot of like, hey, try this country beat and like give this a shot, and learning like train beats and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff that I'm able to bring in. So yeah.
And Lauren, you were the first outside collaborator to put your fingerprints on this project, right?
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Did you find at the outset, I guess 14 months ago when you were, you know, getting together with Jim and starting to help flesh out some of these songs, was there any part of you that felt like you had to be kind of goading him along or pulling him out of his sideman shell, so to speak? Or was he, you know, fully formed, ready to go by the time you came in?
Oh, he's all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he had it figured out, knew what he wanted, and we came together and started working on stuff, and it came together quicker than I thought it would, too. It was just uh-huh. rolling right along.
I think once we started, I mean, I think it took the initial kind of push to get the inertia going, and then once it started, it was like, wow, oh,
yeah.
we have four songs. Oh, we have, you know, this.
Sure.
And I would just kind of throw him songs. Sometimes we play a lot of duo restaurant gigs, so we'll be playing on a Friday night, maybe at Frog and Firkin, you know, and I'll say, hey, I wrote this song the other day. It's in this key. Let's go. Let's try it. You know, and so most of the material, kind of, I think your first shot at a lot of it was that way.
Aside from that first song I collaborated on, I learned every one of these other songs.
In that fashion,
at
yeah.
the duo.
yeah. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's, you know, a testament to, I think, Lauren's playing, too, because
yeah.
I knew I could kind of go like, hey, I have this song. You have no idea where it's going to go, but you're going to be okay. You
yeah.
know? And I'm confident that you'll be okay, and we just kind of figured it out. And mm-hmm. that helped kind of sort of form, like, sometimes I would go, oh, it needs to go to the chorus again there, you know, kind of playing it as a duo and then mm-hmm. kind of work it out. And then I'd go home and record it in the daytime before teaching lessons or you're playing another gig or whatever.
Sure.
I'd record, you know, demo versions and then sort of, you know, start putting down. The process was kind of difficult to be the multi-instrumentalist because you can't do all those things at the same time, obviously.
Right.
So I would start with a, you know, like a metronome and a basic guitar track mm-hmm. and then sing a scratch vocal that would be replaced later, kind of settle on a guitar track that was like a finalized track and then record all the parts to that finalized guitar track, saving the vocals to kind of to the end. In some of the cases, we had some guests in the studio. A handful of the songs were cut live. The rhythm section was cut live with myself playing drums, Lauren playing rhythm guitar, and Michael P. Norberg playing bass.
Got it.
So we would cut the songs live to that original kind of guitar part and a scratch vocal, and then I'd sort of layer some more parts on top of that, and then Lauren, at kind of the end, would come back in and do his lead guitar parts. We had Tim Gallagher, a.k.a. Hank Topless, as a steel player on the whole album. Mm. He played on about 7 of the tunes. Danny Krieger played on the fourth song, Double Yellow Line. He played piano and a dobro, slide guitar. Mm-hmm. Near the end of the record, the process, Rich Hopkins happened to be in town, and I played drums for him for many years. Mm. He happened to be in town, so he came by and added a lead guitar part. So there was some kind of bits and pieces of like, hey, you know, since I have most of this together, you can come in and just kind of add that.
Sure.
And I sort of did the vocals sort of last. And then Sean sang some harmonies with me, as well as Kaya Chesney came in. Well, actually, I still call her by her main name. Kaya Maza. Yeah, and it's so hard to break because I've known her for a long time. Kaya Maza came by and did some harmony vocals as well. So kind of like putting the vocals on the record and then really mixing it was the kind of the final process.
Excellent. Well, we're going to jump back into the music here. You're listening to the Jim Howell Band. The new album is called Silver Clouds, and it's available through all the major online outlets in addition to being available on Bandcamp as well. And before we jump in, Jim, any upcoming gigs you want to mention if somebody does want to try to track down a physical copy?
Yeah, so we have like Lauren and I play once a month at Frog and Firkin every first Friday. Mm-hmm. We have a gig up in Oro Valley where it's a Taste of Oro Valley. Mm-hmm. The full band will be playing. It's on a Sunday at El Conquistador. That's going to be kind of a cool event. It's a charity event kind of mm-hmm. thing. So I think it costs a lot of money to get in, and we get paid probably nothing. We think we get paid in food kind of thing, but it's a cool thing to do. You know, my website, jimhowellmusic.com, and my Reverb Nation page both, you know, keep my gigs up to date. Perfect. This summer we do a whole series at the Racket Club where we play their Friday night barbecues.
Oh, cool.
As a full band. And that's a fun event because it's kind of early. You can kind of go to that, have dinner, come sit on the grass, go mm-hmm. for a swim, you know, see a band. And then, you know, either call that your night or go out downtown afterwards if you want. You know, if you have little kids, you can do that.
All right, well, you're listening to the Jim Howell Band here on Locals Only. And I'll tell you what, Jim, I know you've got a half dozen or so more songs.
Yeah.
We've got about 20 minutes left, so if it's cool with you, why don't you just play us out?
You got it.
Cool.
So this song is called A Thing or Two or Ten, and this is one of the ones that was actually the first song that we recorded on the album. The album version is Lauren playing guitar. I played an acoustic nylon string guitar and harmonica, and Michael P. Norberg played the piano in my living room, and we just recorded it live. Like that. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3.
I got a thing or two or ten to say in the morning. I got a thing or two or ten that's been on my mind. As I lie awake when I should be sleeping, all these thoughts, words resisting my tired word mind. We'll
say in the morning. I got a thing or two or ten that's been on my mind. All these thoughts and words resisting my somnolent mind. As I lie here awake while you're by me dreaming, all my thoughts and words resisting my time were mine.
Here's another honky tonker called Why'd You Have to Pick Today?
Oh, why'd you have to pick today to give a damn? I woke up in the morning with a deal at hand. And you walked in and you kissed me hard. I lost my nerve and I fell apart. Why'd you have to pick today to give a damn? Oh, why'd you have to pick today to call my bluff? I had it packed up and ready in my pickup truck. And you said, go, you won't get too far. I walked out, but my truck wouldn't stop. Why'd you have to pick today? And why'd you have to pick today? Hey, I love you. Mine was made up, it was sure, and it was true. Three words from you and it broke my will. I'm still here and I'm under your spell. Why'd you have to pick today to say I love you? Come on.
One he called low-lying fruit. Now I know the truth. I was the one who was down when she picked me from the ground. Now what I have come to know is while I was laying low, he was just lying full.
just the sweetest brew. He was high up on the limb, nothing but crows were picking him. I was bruised, not quite whole, but she's my peach, my heart is full. Together at 30, my 20s went up in smoke. They didn't try to fix me, baby. Here I am still broke. Went from lonely late nights in early mornings. When I saw the other side of fall, it came without warning. I went from sets of grave escapes to no safer bets. Making all those narrow mistakes, who needs regret? When the lonely groundhog day, never making right. And when I even try to change, all we do is fight. Letting me be honest, ain't no joke. I'm happy just a B&B, sitting here still broke. You didn't try to fix me, baby. Here I am still broke. Thank you.
chords and the truth. Not trying to be rude. Get behind what you feel. Give me something you feel. Three chords and the truth. Floating the river and so dang grown. We can dig the girls and cut off trees. Catch a bounce to lyrical means. Three chords and the truth. I'm not trying to be rude. Get behind what you feel. Give me something that's real. Slop a band of half-fist drums. It's nice to wear a pearl snap shirt. Can't find a new shuffle first. The three chords and the truth. I'm not trying to be rude. Get behind what you feel. Give me something that's real. And if you're singing the bridge, try six or a three. Don't take it from me. Just your five and a chorus rubbing.
That one was three chords. It's more than three? It is kind of a lie, isn't it? It is more than three chords. The bridge has its own set of three chords.
That's true.
Right.
Three chords is a lie.
The song is a complete lie. All right, so we have probably time for one more. One more. If we end up a little bit early, is that okay? All right. Okay. We're going to play one more, and this one goes out to Al Perry if he's listening. Only because he played this. This is like the first person to play one of our songs outside of an appearance here. So, the song's called I Hate Everything. Thing.
I hate everything.
Facebook friends.
I hate everything.
Facebook friends.
I hate everything.
Check us out.